Blackhawks goal scored by Bobo Marshevsky.
Well, Mr. Borshowski, technically speaking, you're a stowaway. You have come on board my ship without my permission. What have you to say for yourself?
Under maritime law, Captain Bemis, a captain is complete master of the ship. You evaluate all crimes committed under your jurisdiction and dispense judgment, is that right?
Deadlock by Sarah Paretsky.
Technically, yes, as long as the ship is at sea. If some crime was committed on board, though, I'd probably just hang on to the person and hand him over to the regular judiciary at our next port of call.
Well, suppose you had somebody on board who committed a crime while he was on shore, and you found out about it while you're at sea. What do you do then?
Dramatized for radio by Micheline Wandor.
I think that would depend on the crime.
Say, attempted murder.
With Kathleen Turner as V.I. Warshawski.
I assume that isn't hypothetical, Vic. Do you think one of the Whistler's crew tried to kill someone?
Yes, Martin Bledsoe. Me.
What?
I think I was the intended victim of a murder attempt.
Episode 4. Deadlock.
You better explain that, Vic.
Can I sit down?
Of course, Captain Bemis.
I suppose so.
Last Thursday night, Martin, you and I went out to dinner.
That's right.
I left my car in the yard at the port. While we were in the restaurant, someone cut through the steering controls and emptied the brake fluid.
What?
I crashed the car on my way home. It was a miracle I escaped with only minor injuries.
My God, Vic.
I only came out of the hospital a couple days ago.
I assume I could radio the Chicago police and get some verification of this.
Bemis, don't you believe her?
No, it's okay, Martin. Lieutenant Robert Mallory can tell you anything you want to know, Captain.
There is a lot of vandalism down at the port.
I don't know many vandals who go around with a cutting torch and a ratchet wrench.
You think just because the Lucilla was tied out there, we're implicated?
You and Clayton Phillips were the only ones who knew my car was there. Look, Captain, I am certain my cousin was pushed into the water last month. He didn't commit suicide. The way I see it, the killer's either connected with this ship or with Phillips' outfit, Eudora Grain. Now, you got a big machine shop here. You must have a couple of cutting torches around.
There's no reason for any of us to want to kill you.
Well, there would be if I knew what my cousin found out. What if it had something to do with the vandalism to your cargo holds?
We all depend on the Lucilla. Why would we put the ship out of commission?
Say someone was blackmailing you. Something along the lines of, I'll tell your secret history if you don't give up the load?
God damn you, Vic!
Martin, what the hell is this?
That was a private conversation.
You have a mad wife stashed away in Cleveland or something?
Oh, you'll have to ask Warshawski here. She's telling a story.
No, it's your story, Martin.
Why should someone blackmail me?
No, you clearly think there's a reason. Remember you smashed a wine glass just because Niels Greyfalk made a crack last week about where you went to school?
Is this supposed to be clever or what?
Well, what do you think?
Well, I'm damned if I'm going to put up with any more of this.
I'm running a ship, Miss Warshawski, not a soap opera.
I've had a cousin killed, and somebody's trying to kill me. Until I know you and your crew had nothing to do with it, you can damn well live in my soap opera, and you can like it.
Don't blame me for being upset. But I think you're blowing up a couple of very sad accidents into a conspiracy, and I can't have you disrupting my ship.
Okay. All right, I apologize. I won't disrupt your ship. May I just talk to the chief engineer?
Mike will be eating dinner with us. You can talk to him then.
Thanks. I'll be polite.
Good.
You won't turn me over to the cops?
No, I won't. I hope it's not a mistake, but I trust you.
Thank you, Captain Bemis.
Will you excuse me? I have work to do.
Sure. Can I go out on deck?
As long as you don't pick a fight with anyone.
It's cold. I breathe in the late afternoon air. In the water, a few chunks of ice. Winter lasts a long time in these parts. Well, V.I., you are doing a really swell job. You don't know a damn thing you didn't know a week ago, except how to load a Great Lakes freighter full of grain. The surface of the water is greeny black. Where the ship cuts through, the water turns over in a sheen of colors from lavender white to blue-green to green to black, like dropping black ink onto wet paper.
It would be easy to push you in, you know, and claim that you fell.
Is that a threat or an observation, Martin?
I may blow up too fast, but you don't need a gun to keep me at bay, for Christ's sake. Put that damn thing away.
Are you mad at me?
I came out here to talk to you.
Just talk?
Don't make it so damn difficult.
Well, that's up to you.
Did you talk to Greyfalk about me?
Maybe.
Do you want to hear my side of the story?
Sure.
Then put that thing away.
Okay.
I grew up in a waterfront slum. Greyfalk put me into the Cleveland office when I was only 19. I should never have let anyone that age handle so much money. I didn't steal it. Well, that is, of course, I did steal it. I mean, I wasn't thinking of stashing away the loot and escaping to Argentina. I just wanted to live in a grand style. I bought a car, a red Packard Roadster. I thought I was the slickest thing on the waterfront.
I bet you did.
Anyway, I spent the stuff blatantly, begging to be caught, really. Neil saw me through it. He rehired me right after prison. He's never mentioned it in 20 years. He took it very personally when I set up Polestar in competition with his company.
Why did you quit Grey Fork?
My wife was terminally ill. We never had any children. I guess I turned all my energy into shipping. I wanted to run my own show for years. Niels was happy running the old ships. I wanted a 1,000-footer like this one. It took me 3 years to get the money together and 4 years to build the Lucilla. But it's worth it. These things run at about 1/3 the cost of the old 500-footers, and I can carry 7 times the load.
But what does a ship like this cost to build?
Just under $50 million.
Lord, how on earth did you raise that?
Now, Sheridan and Bemis put in their savings. The Fort Dearborn Trust owns the biggest chunk, plus loans with about 10 banks. It's a tremendous investment.
Yeah, I see.
I can't understand why Niels brought up the story of my past. If he wanted to hurt me, then he could have done it 3 years ago. No one would have lent me money. So, why tell you now?
I don't know.
Nor do I. But if I knew something that would help, I'd tell you, really.
Well, none of you tell me anything. You can't distinguish between a natural loyalty to the ship and each other from concealing a crime.
I know your car was vandalized, but it was probably done by, well, a couple of punks who never saw you in their life.
No, there are too many coincidences, Martin. Look, I can't believe that Boom Boom and the watchman in his building died, and that I was almost killed through a series of unrelated events. I just don't believe it.
Maybe it's true.
No. See, I know my cousin had an argument with Phillips. Maybe Phillips was into some kind of fraud.
Well, if you really want to be certain, you'll have to look at the invoices. The contracts you showed me seem fine, but you need to see what Phillips actually paid for the grain to see how much profit he's making.
Yeah. The man who handles money bears further investigation. The trouble is everything in this damn case bears further investigation. Thanks for the idea. I'll think about it.
Are you getting off in Sault Ste. Marie?
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, I have a plane there. I can fly you back to Chicago.
You own a plane?
I fly to New York to go to the opera at the Met. I have a season ticket. That's the only reason I have a plane.
I wouldn't have taken you for an opera fan.
We had a collection of librettos in the prison library. I read them all.
Well, well.
There's a lot you don't know about me.
There sure is.
It's strange to talk about prison with someone. My wife was the only person who knew about it. Except Niels, of course. Dinner.
Ah, what a drag. I was just getting interested.
Yeah. Another time.
Mmm. You eat well here.
It's a modern ship, Vic. Mike, do you mind if Miss Warshawski asks you some questions?
No, not at all.
Mr. Sheridan, you have cutting torches on board, don't you?
Oh, yes, we have torches of different sizes.
And wrenches.
Yep, every possible variety of wrench.
Do you know if any of them were used last Thursday?
Well, it could be. I don't keep tabs on everything. It's impossible.
Well, how many people work in the engine room?
8 on duty when we're at sea.
And could someone have come onto the ship, taken tools, and brought them back without anybody else noticing?
Well, I suppose so.
No, this isn't like the Navy, where someone is always on watch. Our people come and go without anyone paying attention.
What if someone hired one of the crew to do the dirty work?
I think we got rid of our lone bad apple when we fired the guy who put water in our holes last month.
I have great confidence in the man. I can't imagine any one of those guys deliberately sabotaging somebody's car.
Well, were you in the engine room that night?
Yes, I was. And Yarmouth, my first engineer, was with me. We were checking the hydraulics.
Not out of each other's sight all evening?
Not long enough to monkey with a car.
Satisfied, Vic? Is Polestar clean in your eyes?
I suppose so. I mean, short of launching a full-scale investigation into everyone's movements last Thursday night, there's not much else I can do to check up on you guys.
That's right.
The whole thing must turn on money, a lot of money.
True, and there's a great deal in the freighter business. You know, I had to raise a lot of money to pay for the Lucilla. Maybe I embezzled it from Niels just before I left the Grey Fog Steamship Company. Perhaps you should investigate me properly.
Oh, that's a thought. Now, if Grey Fog suspected you but couldn't prove anything, he might want to make me suspicious of you.
There you are, then. You should definitely look into my finances.
I'll tell my secretary to give you access to my files when we get back to Chicago.
Oh, thank you very much. Of course, if you had something to hide, you would have concealed it someplace other than Polestar's books.
But where?
I don't know. I'll just have to keep a watch on you, Martin Blezo. A narrow bed under the portholes in the starboard wall of the dining room, braced to the side so it won't slide around with the rocking of the ship. Put my Smith and Wesson under the pillow, climb under the blankets in my jeans and shirt. I wake before 6. I go out on deck. The sun is a ball of liquid orange low in the sky. A purple shoreline lies a mile or so off to the left.
Good morning, Miss Wachowski.
Good morning, Captain Bemis.
Did you sleep well?
Yeah, surprisingly. Where are we?
We're coming down the southeast coast of Lake Superior. It's a very shallow route. This is where the Edmund Fitzgerald went down in 1975. The waves were 30 feet high up here that night. One of them must have pushed the Fitzgerald into a trough and caused her to scrape against the bottom and snap. If they marked the channel properly, the ship would have avoided the shallowest spots. The middle of these ships has no support and it just snaps. You go down very quickly.
Does that worry the crew?
No. Ship disasters are like cancer. The other guy is always the one who's going to get it.
Morning, Vic.
Oh, hi, Martin.
What time do we get into the lock?
Early afternoon. You're welcome to watch from the bridge, Miss Wachowski.
Captain to the bridge. Captain to the bridge.
Excuse me, I'm wanted below.
How many ships go through the lock every day, Martin?
Quite a lot. Your place in line is determined by when you arrive at the mouth of the channel. There's a lot of racing to get into the channel first. It's expensive to tie up. This ship costs $10,000 a day to operate.
Oh, that's a lot of money.
Another financial motive, Vic?
Ah, so it is.
Breakfast, I think.
Control calling Lucilla Visor. Control calling Lucilla Visor. Can you give us your length and weight?
What's happening?
There's
a 24-foot drop between Lake Superior and Lake Huron. There are 4 locks, and only one is big enough to handle 1,000-foot freighters. We'll be the second ship in.
Engines in neutral.
What are those men doing? The ones climbing down the side of the ship?
They tie up the ship and keep up tension on the cables as the ship sinks and the ropes become slack. Just before the gates open into Lake Huron, they untie the ropes and jump back on board.
So what happens now?
We wait here.
That lock looks really narrow.
It's 110 feet wide.
How wide is it, Lucilla?
105 feet.
What? You mean you've got 2.5 feet on each side?
Not much room for error.
You're not kidding. Hey, we're moving. Tell me what's going on.
Okay. We'll tie up about 20 feet from the southern gate. It's guided electrically from the bank.
Well, the gates are closing behind us.
Right. It takes about 15 minutes for the lock to empty over 2 million gallons of water into Lake Huron.
Ooh, we're sinking fast.
They're tightening the cables.
What a sight.
As soon as the Scylla is level with the dock, we'll hop across the gap. It's only 2 feet. There's about 30 seconds before the gates open.
Warren, okay.
Could you come here a moment?
Vic, you go down to the deck and wait for me there, okay?
Sure. I go down to the deck. On the observation tower, the tourists are bunched together. The sun sparkling off their camera lenses. Ooh, flash of reflected light nearly blinds me. I blink. Notice a man standing alone. A thatch of bright red hair, unusual for an adult. And he's holding a huge pair of binoculars. Gray water rushes away through the gap between the side of the Lucilla and the side of the lock. The deck's almost level now with the top of the lock. I could reach out and touch it. What's happening? The deck is shaking. I can't stand up. The ship's bouncing off the side of the lock. Martin! We're rising in the air. I feel sick. Martin!
Hang on, Vic! I'm coming!
Sheets of water rush up like giant geysers between the side of the ship and the lock. Tower skyward in a thick curtain cutting us off from land and sky.
Hold on!
100 feet above us, water rushing. Swirls and a pounding torrent on the deck, knocking everybody over. Help!
Thank God you're okay.
Martin!
Hold on!
The beams wrench and tear. We fall into the lock forward, ramming the forward gate. Martin, are you okay?
Someone just
blew up a 60,000-ton ship.
Oh, my God. 60,000 tons. 60,000 tons. What happened?
Someone must have burned the explosives on the hull.
I can't believe it.
No. Was it something in the lock?
No, it couldn't have been in the lock. It was on the ship.
Drops of water dug up by the screws as we left Thunder Bay.
On the hull of the ship.
A dark figure in a wetsuit coming out of the water.
Oh, thank God. Are you okay?
A figure in a wetsuit.
Yeah. Bemis.
He's radioed the Coast Guard for a helicopter. Ambulances are on the way.
That was the person who planted the charges.
How are things below?
It was done yesterday at Thunder Bay.
Two dead. Water everywhere.
What was it, Mike?
Depth charges. Set off by radio signal from somewhere on shore.
The man with red hair and binoculars.
I'll come down with you, Sheridan.
Okay.
Vic, you wait here. I'll be back as soon as I can.
Sure, Martin. I'll be fine.
I must find that man with the red hair. The deck is leveled with the bank. If I grab the cables... Yeah, it'll hold. I'll swing across a few feet between the ship and the side of the lock. A huge crowd at the observation deck. Let me see. No, no one with red hair. Oh, Jesus. The Lucilla's a god-awful sight. Bow and stern both stick up from the lock at jagged angles. Wet barley oozes from the holes across the gaping deck. Oh, hell. No, there's nothing more I can do here. Get to the airport.
Hello? Is anyone there?
Yeah. What can I do for you?
When does the next plane to Chicago leave?
Well, no planes to Chicago here. This is Sault Ste. Marie's private airport. Commercial airport's 20 miles down the interstate.
Oh, God. Do you have a phone I can use?
Yeah, end of the building.
Thanks. Oh, no, by the way, does Mr. Martin Bledsoe keep his plane here?
Well, it was here. Cappy flew it out about 20 minutes ago.
Cappy?
His pilot. Some guy come along. Cappy was expecting him.
A guy with bright red hair?
Yeah. Come to think of it, he had red hair. The weather looks good. It's clear across Lake Michigan. They should make Chicago by 6 or so.
Thanks, mister. I make it to the County International Airport. Could Bledsoe have tried to blow up his own ship? If so, he must be pretty clever. No, but he offered to let me look at the financial papers. Yeah, well, that would mean the real documents were hidden someplace else, with fake books for bankers and detectives. No, he really was in shock when the Lucilla blew up. I mean, that gray face couldn't have been faked. Unless maybe it went wrong. Maybe he just wanted to incapacitate her and collect some insurance. Maybe. And who was that guy with the bright red hair? That great Matt of... Oh, my God. Mattingly. Howard Mattingly has red hair. And he's on Bledsoe's plane. God, what a fool I am. Oh, damn him. Thank God I didn't sleep with him. Elsie Mattingly?
Yes?
B.I. Wachowski, Boom Boom's cousin.
Oh, how are you?
Fine. Can I speak with Howard?
I'm afraid Howard's not here. I don't know where he is. I haven't seen him for 4 days. I thought maybe you had news.
May I come in?
Oh, yes, please come in.
Hey, you better sit down.
I'm sorry. I thought he was at the Cour d'Argent with Pierre, but he's not. And the baby may come any day, and I'm so scared.
Oh, honey, can I get you something? Some water, tea?
There's some gin on the table and orange juice.
You're kidding. When did you last see Howard?
He left Monday with a small overnight bag. He said he'd be back on Wednesday, 2 days ago.
Did he say where he was going?
No.
Does Thunder Bay sound familiar?
I don't know. I just don't know.
Here. Have some juice.
Thanks. When I told him you'd called, he got really mad at me. He hit me.
Oh, Jesus.
And then he packed up and left. He said he better not tell me where he was going because I would just blab it around to people.
Oh, Elsie.
Is it money? Has Howard got money problems?
No, he made a lot this spring. He gave me $200 to buy a really nice crib and everything for the baby.
Oh, Jesus. All right, do you have a mother or a sister or someone you could stay with?
No, my family live in Oklahoma.
Now look, Elsie, promise me you'll call the fire department when you go into labor. They'll send paramedics over and they'll help you.
Okay.
And would you do me a favor?
Yes.
Call me if Howard shows up, but for goodness sake, don't tell him you talked to me or he'll hit you again. Just go down the corner grocery and use the payphone. I really have to find him. Would you promise me?
Yes, I will.
Hail a yellow cab to take me down to Lottie's. 5 miles on city streets. I doze in the lurching vehicle.
Oh, thank God. Pete,
what is it, Lottie? Hey.
You made it back.
What on earth is the matter?
It's the boat you were on, Vic. It was on the news, the explosion. 4 dead, they said, but they wouldn't give the names until the families were notified. I was afraid. A bath. You must need a bath. I have chicken soup on the stove. Do you want some scotch? How's the shoulder?
Oh, Lottie, you are a darling.
Tell me what happened.
I need a bath.
I'll run you a bath, and you can tell me.
You know, it looks like Bledsoe set it all up. I just don't believe my judgment of character can be so wrong. I like him.
You mustn't let your feelings influence you so much.
Yeah, I know. I guess I'll have to put my prejudices aside and look into Polestar's insurance arrangements and their general financial health. Oh, that soup smells delicious.
After your bath, we'll eat.
Then I'll walk home.
You're crazy, Vic.
I just needed to see a friend, Lottie. I knew you'd feed me.
You've got more brains than sense.
So I'll take it easy tomorrow.
Oh, you be careful.
Ah, no place like home. Bulging mailbox. Dust and magazines around the living room. Unmade bed. I clean up. I glow with rare virtue. Settle down with a cup of coffee to sort through the mail. Bills. Ugh. Ah, $3,500 check from Ajax Insurance for a new car. The keys to Boom Boom's apartment with a note from Sergeant McGonagall saying the police are through with their investigations. Janet, Boom Boom's secretary, wants to see me urgently at her home.
So I've been fired, Miss Warshawski.
Why, Janet?
Mr. Phillips told me it was because they didn't have enough for me to do with Mr. Warshawski gone and all, but I think it was because I was going through those files for you.
When did this happen?
Well, last night I stayed behind to see if I could find out anything about Mr. Phillips' paycheck like you asked me to. Lois, Mr. Phillips' secretary, came in to see what I was doing.
Yikes. What'd you tell her?
Well, I said I'd written a personal letter, and I couldn't find it, so I was looking to see if it had been thrown out.
Well, that's pretty fast thinking.
Well, I don't think she believed me, because, well, there wasn't any reason for it to be in Mr. Phillips' wastebasket. She must have told him, because this morning he called and told me they don't need me to come in anymore, and he'll send me 2 weeks' salary instead of notice. It doesn't seem fair.
No, I'm really sorry you lost your job for nothing.
Well, it wasn't for nothing. I found his pay stub.
Oh, great. What does it say?
Mr. Phillips gets $3,546.15 every 2 weeks. That comes to $92,000 a year. I was only making $7,200.
Oh, Jenna, I am really grateful. You know, if you're willing to work downtown, I could get you an interview at the Ajax Insurance Company.
Oh, well, I'd rather find something in my own neighborhood, but thanks.
Look, if it doesn't work out, you give me a call. Promise.
Yeah.
$92,000 a year. Now, say he has good deductions and a good accountant. Can't take home more than $60,000. A real estate tax bill is probably $3,000. Mortgage maybe another $15,000. Dues at the Maritime Club. Fees for tennis, $25,000. The boat, the Alpha, food, couture dresses for Janine. He would have to take a good $100,000 net to cover it. Pierre, V.I. Wachowski. Listen, can you tell me where I can find Howard Mattingly? He's in town, but not home.
I can't tell you, Vic.
You know, Elsie's due any day.
What a bastard.
You bet. Listen, Pierre, does Howard know how to do deep-sea diving?
Deep-sea diving? I haven't a clue. Oh, by the way, I have that name for you.
What name?
You wanted to know the name of the man who was interested in buying shares in the Black Hawks?
Oh, yeah, I'd forgotten. Well, who is it?
His name is Niels Greyfalk.
Whoa. What is going on?
Vic? Vic, are you still there?
Yeah. Oh, listen, thanks very much, Pierre. Call me if you got any news on Mattingly. So, Greyfalk was interested in the Black Hawks. And Paige Carrington was at that same party. That's the party where she met my cousin. So, there is some connection between the shipping business, my cousin, and the lovely Paige Carrington. I think I'll retrace some tracks. First, Boom Boom's apartment. Gray dust from the fingerprint detectives everywhere. Boom Boom's first and last hockey sticks. Pictures of him in various hockey outfits. Picture of me in my law school robes, grins incongruously from the wall. I think I'll take these as souvenirs. Goodbye, Boom Boom. With any luck, I'll never have to visit this place again. Next stop, Eudora Grain offices. Late Saturday afternoon is an eerie time to visit the port of Chicago. Huge ships stand like sleeping giants. Easy Omega into the parking lot. Side door to the offices. No night watchman? Not much security. Dear. Picklocks. There. Damn, filing cabinet's locked. Should have brought sandwiches and a thermos of coffee. Let's see. Two broken calculators. Phillips keeps diaries going back 6 years. Nose chops, an old pair of overshoes. Phone messages. A couple from Greyfalk. Others all names I don't recognize. Ledgers in a walnut filing cabinet. Now, where are the invoices? Computer printouts. Payments to licensed grain carriers. But no invoices anywhere. Payroll records. Phillip's salary's listed, just as Janet said. If he's getting extra money from Eudora Grain, it's not going through the payroll account. If he's monkeying around with the figures, he'll have to be subtle. 9 o'clock, I am tired. My shoulder's throbbing. Alright, just one more thing to do. One more errand. Hello? May I speak with Mr. Phillips? Oh. I see. Who's this? His son. Right, yeah. May I leave a message? Oh, thanks. You tell him Mr. Argo's auditors want to know where the missing invoices are. That's right. Tell him V.I. Warshawski thinks he knows exactly where the invoices are. Sure. Sure, you can call me anytime. V.I. Warshawski.
In episode 4 of Deadlock, Kathleen Turner played V.I. Warshawski, with Eleanor Braun as Lottie and James Aubrey as Martin Bledsoe. William Dufresne played Captain Bemis, Keith Drinkle, Mike Sheridan, Matthew Morgan, Pierre Bouchard, Melanie Hudson, Elsie, David Holt, the airport man, and Jill Graham was Janet. Deadlock was dramatized by Micheline Wandor, and the director was Janet Whittaker.